Welcome to M&A Access, the official podcast for the Alliance of M&A Advisors. My name is Gina Galusha, and I am here with Stuart Knoll.
Good morning, Gina.
Good morning. So glad you're here.
Glad to be here.
So, Stuart, tell us a little bit about yourself. I've known you for a while now, but tell these folks.
Yeah, you know, born and bred in St. Louis, Missouri. Went to undergrad at Washington and Lee University in Lexington, Virginia. So I'm a proud general. if you meet some of us, we're all proud generals, but because there are a few of us, it's a very small school. I spent years dabbling around M&A and leverage finance, and then making some minority investments while at Advantage Capital Partners at the time, which is now Advantage Capital, and then made my way over to Compass in the fall of 2019. It was a small group at that time. I was the fifth individual. We were an independent sponsor, and we remained an independent sponsor until the spring of 22, in which we raised a $255 million fund, and then in the spring of 2024, raised our current fund, which is $408 million, and that's what we're deploying out of today.
Nice.
A little bit more about me. I, you know, have a lovely wife, Paige, and my two children, Sawyer and Piper, and they keep me busy when I'm not on the road talking to folks like you.
They sound lovely.
Oh, yes, they are
when
lovely.
When we've chatted about them. So tell me, I'm very curious, what led to the shift from independent sponsor to being like a fully funded?
Yeah, you know, it was a combination of things. John Hewn, our managing partner, along with Chris Gibson, our other managing partner, had made the decision that we were at an inflection point. We were growing nicely as an independent sponsor. But we needed to continue that growth and found that, you know, we're evaluating the committed capital model and, ultimately chose that path based upon time, talent, and, you know, and time being the fact that once we found an opportunity to invest in, we no longer needed to spend the time to go out and raise the capital for that.
Yes.
And then talent cuts both ways. That cuts, you know, I think we found that the market and individuals were, you know, found that we were trying to attract to St. Louis, Missouri, liked the stability of a committed fund. So it enabled us to, you know, really engage with young folks that wanted to join an organization, but were looking for the stability of a committed fund. And then also talent at the board level. It allowed us to utilize some of our seats to put true industry veterans in those roles who provide a different perspective for our management teams to create value. Mm-hmm. And we see that day in and day out.
Nice. So a little bit ago, when was this? I noticed that you started dropping something called Thesis Thursdays on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And they're a lot of fun to watch. Tell me about how that came about, what that looks like, et cetera.
Yeah. So Thesis Thursday came about as you know, really from folks in our marketing department, Brad and Kate, who, you know, help us showcase what Compass is ultimately all about. We wanted to do something surrounding our thesis-based investing because it is core to what Compass is, to what Compass does today. And it's important to highlight, you know, since day one, John, our managing partner, as I mentioned earlier, he had recognized in his... He led corporate development at a public company. He helped stand up a family office in St. Louis, and in corporate development and at the family office that had alignment with a certain industry vertical, their job was to know everyone in the industry. Their job was to know, you know, because they had a defined path forward, they had a defined mandate in what they wanted to acquire. And so John spent a lot of his time focused on understanding the end market. And when he founded Compass Group, that was a core guiding principle, and that was thematic investing, thematic development. Get individuals that understand the industry end market so that we can be prudent investors. And so that we can differentiate to some extent. John, he tells a story that he never understood that, you know, how a private equity firm could come in to a business and not know a whole lot about it. Just, you know, be enamored by the margin profile, gross margin and EBITDA margin.
The numbers.
But not having a passion for the industry. And that's what our thematic development really does internally, is it builds a passion to deploy capital in that industry vertical, whatever we choose, whatever our deal teams choose to pursue. And that thesis development takes time. It's 12, 24 months of research, of starting to build a name in that industry for us, and just learning, the exploration of an industry vertical is truly motivated by passion from the thesis leader, which all of our deal team members are tasked with, and it's core to us. So we said to ourselves, we have to do something with this. We have to differentiate, and we have to show, founders and the market as a whole, really what we're about, how we go to market, and how we succeed.
One question that I have is, how helpful was having a strong culture of building theses in raising your funds? I feel like that would be a really powerful pitch.
Yeah, you know, I think it's foundational to who we are. So it has to, it had to have bearing on our ability to transition from an independent sponsor, which we were from 2015 to 2022. And at that time there was a phrase, and that phrase, or is an acronym, is called JAMBOG.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
JAMBOG?
Mm-hmm. Just another middle market buyout group.
You ain't no JAMBOG?
We ain't no JAMBOG. And our thesis, I just hit the microphone. That probably gave you some feedback. But that thesis-driven approach, at the time, was a differentiator. We felt like it was a differentiator. We were focused on specific end markets. We were executing transactions in those end markets, or industry verticals, if you will. And it was all led via, passion. Not just for the individuals leading that thesis, but for us as an organization. We meet quarterly to review existing theses, to review theses that are being researched. We manage it like a pipeline.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right. So managing it like a pipeline, you sit down and you say, here's the ones we have in progress.
Correct.
Here's how they're working. Here's like the percentage of close or success rate, right? Whereas here's the ones we have coming in, and kind of looking at it that way?
Yes, absolutely. So, at any point in time, since it does take a long time to develop a thesis, you will have different theses in different stages of development.
Right.
Some, in the beginning are just at ideation. Mm-hmm. Maybe someone was driving down the road and saw a van or saw a business off the side of the road and said, that's interesting. And they researched it, and, you know, that followed on, and they continued to gather information, market intelligence that, so I'm a big hands talker. I'm going to hit this microphone
all
a lot.
The time.
But they're able to drill down on that. And then, you know, you have, you know, kind of, you have theses that are getting close to being actionable. And when I say actionable, it's a combination of us marketing it to the intermediary community so that they know what we're looking for. They know that we're passionate about it. They know that we've done our homework so that when we get in front of that seller, we're talking the same language.
Yes.
We understand, you know, we understand some of the pain that they're potentially experiencing in their industry. Mm-hmm. We have ideas on how we would, you know, challenge that, on how we would potentially modify things or alleviate that pain. Mm-hmm. And how we would grow those businesses. And that's what we start off any conversation with any business owner, with any seller, is just, you know, information sharing. You know, if it's a proprietary deal, I'm not calling them and saying, do you want to sell your business to me? Like, that's a waste of time. That's, you know, we want to information share. We want to develop a relationship because that's what we are founded upon, is relationships with our sellers who are then our partners. Mm-hmm. And the collaboration that happens there, you know, forward, leading to value creation and a return for, you know, not only ourselves and our investors, but also for that business owner and their employees in many cases.
Mm-hmm. So if your theses take 12 to 24 months to create, and then you're going and cultivating these collaborative relationships with the seller, and then you're going in and applying that, what is your really the length of this kind of engagement with a company?
Oh, it depends. Well, we say that a lot at Compass.
Well, I think it's true for all things. More, I'm thinking, do you think that because you have all of that prep at the beginning, closing that deal and integrating your plan is more seamless?
Yeah, because that's a great question, Gina. It is more seamless. I mean, certainly I'd like to hear from our deal team about it, but they're able to build that relationship based upon a shared passion for that industry. And
a shared curiosity, I think, about how to grow and where to go.
100%. How can we help them grow? You know, maybe a seller realizes that they've taken their business to an inflection point, and they're looking for a partner to take the business to the next level. They're at a point in their career where, you know, it's time to separate their personal liability from that of the business. Mm-hmm. Bring on a partner. Bring that financial stability to their family via taking some chips off the table,
right,
but also participating in the additional upside alongside of us. That's really important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the feel good of really, you know, part of what we do is the shared value creation and exit outcomes.
Nice. Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. We have a lot of fun at Compass. Culture is very important to us. And
you have a beanbag toss competition
every year? Absolutely. You know,
how did that happen? Who said beanbags?
We when we raised a fund, we've always done things a little bit different, right? And I think that, you know, that we owe that to John and Chris, and saying, you know, we could have an AGM with all of our limited partners, and we could have a big steak dinner and bring out really expensive bottles of wine, but we want to get to know people. So we said, what should we do? Let's do something different after our AGM. And we said, let's host a bags tournament. So, you know, we're playing cornhole. We have, shoot, you know, 12 different sets of cornhole boards now, maybe 13 or more, because we have them custom made with all of our portcos.
Nice.
And their logos. So it's a lot of fun.
Are any luckier than the others?
Not that I know of. All the ones that I play on are unlucky.
You just haven't found the right one yet.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But I will tell you that the final match is played on the Compass Group boards.
Yes. This makes sense.
Yes. Makes sense. But we bring together, we also involve PGA Reach, who is a charity partner of ours.
Oh, cool.
And we bring them in and have a, you know, there's a charitable component to it. You know, with regard to, you know, the and they actually won it 2 years ago. So that was really fun.
That is cool. What does the winner get?
Oh, a really beautiful trophy. Sometimes with flames on it. But definitely
real life flames?
No.
That would be cool.
No.
I think, can I make that suggestion for next year?
Yeah, I'll talk to the marketing team.
Kind of like the goblet of fire.
Yes.
All right, let's take a shift. Recently, you have been promoted to managing director. Congrats.
Thank you.
That's really exciting.
Yes.
Sounds well deserved. Tell us a little bit about how your role has shifted and what you're learning as that shifts, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting. Immediately, there hasn't been a big role change, but we're evaluating that. I mean, we continue to grow. We continue to have more and more theses to manage, and I'll be spending more time managing that. But that's something that we're going through today as an organization to really, you know, add some greater definition. So in terms of role shift, immediate, it's not occurring, but we are certainly working together as a team and as an organization to define what our business development team is going to look like in the future, how we're going to be successful, what exactly the individuals need to execute on, and that includes myself, and just have, we can call it BD 2.0. What does that look like for Compass? How do we manage, how do we really approach the marketplace given the competitive nature in a thoughtful way? I mean, the market has gotten so competitive in a great way. You know, there are a lot of peers here at this conference, and I like to call the other private equity groups in our portion of the market peers, because we truly are. This is a, you know, yes, it is competitive, but the likelihood of you know, competing with, you know, another firm being at the end is relatively low, and I think we can all learn something from one another, and that's powerful. I mean, that goes to the collaboration that we instill in our deal teams and our portfolio company C-suites and the decision makers. So to answer your question more directly, there hasn't been a huge shift today, but there will be. And that takes time. I mean, evolution is painful.
You know, that's it. I've never heard someone say it like that before, but it's true.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite quotes, evolve or die.
Right. And that doesn't mean it's going to be pleasant.
No.
Right?
No, it's not going to be pleasant. We've gone through a tremendous amount of growth. It's been really exciting.
Growing pains are real.
And we've had our growth. Now it's time to evolve. And we have to think critically about all functions of our business. Mm-hmm. And that includes thesis development. It includes, because everyone's working toward the same goal. And we're working as a team. And at Compass, you know, we are going to succeed together or we are going to fail together. And it's real, and it's, everybody feels and has a sense of responsibility for that.
That is great. So is the approach to kind of your new role and how you're changing similar to how you think through a thesis, but for your company? or is it a different process?
It's a different process. You know, thesis evolution is so interesting because you have so many different, you know, external factors. You know, maybe the market timing is right. Maybe it's not right. Maybe there's been a shift from a regulatory standpoint. You know, just because a thesis, and maybe I'm jumping the gun here, Gina, but just because a thesis hits and matures and gets to a point where we're performing proprietary outreach and we're messaging to our intermediaries and our partners, our investment banks, and what we want to see, sometimes those theses, sometimes the timing just isn't right. And so we have to, you know, for lack of a better term, we have to mothball those.
I was going to say put it on a shelf.
Yes.
In your library.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the great thing about that is that you have support from John and Chris in saying, that's okay.
Amazing.
It's okay if you pour 12 months of your life into, you know, into creating this thesis and it doesn't work out for many other factors. That's not a check mark on the wrong side of the ledger for our deal team members.
That's okay.
That's life.
Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily a no, it's just a not now. Tell us a story of your favorite deal. What was the thesis development? How did it end up? What does that collaboration look like, et cetera?
Yeah, it's got to be, you know, our investment in Illuminate, which is a business down in Tampa, Florida. One of my colleagues, Maureen Dwyer, had been working on a thesis in the cold chain space for a long time.
Oh, wow.
We had identified several companies that we wanted to speak with, and we had made contact, and you know, nothing ever really fit perfect. It just, the stars didn't align. So it was one that we put on a shelf. And then all of a sudden, we learned about Illuminate. We had stayed in front of them. We were talking to them first on a proprietary basis, and they chose to go with an investment bank to bring them to market, which is certainly wise. But we had the opportunity to build that relationship, to share, you know, our strategy ahead of time, to share what our Compass values are and how we instill those and work with our management teams to bring those to the companies themselves and how, you know, we would ultimately grow that business. So it comes to market. We have the relationship because we've done the legwork. Maureen is passionate about the space, and that shows. And so we showed really well and ended up transacting with the team there. And are excited. It's a business in the cold chain packaging space, and which is we really like that growing end market. You know, certainly as we see pharmaceuticals and other products needing temperature consistency when it's being shipped, certainly via transportation, and we see that, you know, that continuing certainly in the global economy. I mean, everything shows up at our front door, right?
Yes, it does. Which I love.
Yeah. I mean, we're on the heels of Christmas. I think, you know, maybe all of us could become a recycler of corrugated cardboard.
Absolutely. So how do you at Compass share these success stories with the team to inspire and continue to refine the process?
Yeah, you know, we have our Monday meetings every Monday where we're talking about, we go through pipeline and we go through portfolio. It's very quick because it needs to be. Because, you know, we have 23 people in that room. We're not going to spend the whole day, you know, rehashing things, but we share our wins. We share Jonathan and I. Jonathan is my right-hand man. He and I comprise the BD function, and we have a lot of reporting in our CRM. We report out to our teams on where we are, the conversations that we've had, the deals that may be relevant to the individual deal team leads. We're just very transparent in everything we do, and we try to certainly over-communicate with our thesis teams themselves on what we have achieved that week, what we're looking to achieve, and what are next best steps for, you know, our desired outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Great. Sounds like y'all have things well buttoned up.
Yeah, well, that's the way it's supposed to be.
It's hard to get there.
It is. Listen, it's not for a lack of hard work. All of this requires discipline and process, which we've grown into over time. We feel like we have a really great process now. We're starting to leverage more and more technology to be more efficient in what we do. You know, work smarter, not harder. But it does come down to hard work. It comes down to, you know, reading the emails that everyone else is deleting. You know, staying on top of the market, making sure that we're having the conversations. And utilizing our time efficiently, like, you know, coming to AM and AA and talking with the intermediaries here and, you know, the service providers and the capital providers. It's really important to aggregate that information so that we can make informed decisions. And so there's, you know, this is always a wonderful event, and one that that I'll continue to leverage as we grow as a firm at Compass.
Well, we appreciate that, because that's why we do what we do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To enable what you do.
That, absolutely. And you make it fun.
Thank you. I enjoy it. So that doesn't, it's easy. All right. Last question that I want to ask is, you know, we, AMA is part of a platform company, and one of the things, I work at the platform level. Mm-hmm. So one of my very favorite things about this is when we find something great at one company that's working so well, we then go and, you know, apply it and change it and tweak it. So, you know, we've got the legacy program here recognizing members who've been members for 5+ years, and that came from another company that we worked with. Mm. But we tweaked it a little bit. And how often do you see that happening with your theses? How much do they inform and help refine each other?
All the time. I mean, you know, as theses for the last several years, as our deal team members would present their thesis, so we have a thesis meeting quarterly, to the organization, some would incorporate slides that hadn't been incorporated earlier. And so we started to formulate, you know, a slide deck specifically for mm-hmm. our thematic development, so that we make sure that we're pulling out, you know, information that is consistent across all theses. So they're all of our theses. So for one instance might be, you know, if we're looking at a specific industry and market, what are the conferences that our deal team members should go to? Mm-hmm. You know, that's you know, part of that document. You know, what does the competitive landscape look like for that specific industry and market? You know, just traditional, probably underwriting of an industry, but formulating that and formalizing that into a document, so
right.
that we have consistent information,
mm-hmm.
that is mm-hmm. consumable for all.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Thank you. I've been curious about that this whole chat. So anything that you want to kind of leave off on, any, you know, if you had one piece of advice to share with folks in the industry listening today, what would it be?
That's a really, really good question, Gina. I think it's perseverance. You know, in my role, in a lot of roles, professional roles, certainly in my role, we hear no a lot.
All the time. Yeah.
All the time. That, just because we hear no doesn't mean that that's a loss. Mm-hmm. We can't take that. You have to move beyond that. And so I like to flip that. I say that's a win. I just save myself time. I don't need to reach out to that individual, mm-hmm. because they don't have a desire to talk to me.
Right.
So I just save time. And so, you know, how do you shift the mind to take a, you know, what some would consider a failure and convert it into a win?
Mm-hmm. My mom always said, do not be weary in well-doing. And that's kind of how I see you every time we get to meet at a conference, right? You just have that kind of quiet joy of I'm moving, you know? So I can absolutely see that.
Absolutely. Brilliant. You know, I mean, getting here early, being one of the, you know, the first people in you know, at the breakfast, mm-hmm. Getting to sit down with someone new. I mean, that's the stuff that excites me. I don't know. I'm clearly an extrovert. no surprise there. But that's definitely why I'm in a business development role. I love relationships. I like to figure out what motivates people, mm-hmm. not just necessarily in these rooms, but in life. I'm a huge fly fisherman. I love to fly fish.
Oh, fascinating.
I love to play golf. I do a lot more of that these days because my son loves to play golf.
Excellent.
And so he's my embedded hall pass.
It's Jan and Sun time.
You know, and we got to get through winter, but then we'll certainly.
Oh, goodness, yes. It's coming. Spring is coming.
It is. But you dread summer, right?
No, I love it.
You love it in Dallas?
I am pretty sure that I am reincarnated lizard.
Okay.
Because if I could lay on a rock in the sun all day, I would. Skin cancer be damned.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we got to keep this dermatologist busy.
Yes, we do. We do. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a lovely conversation. Really enlightening for me. I hope it's been enlightening for you. Thank you for joining us at AMA Winter Conference 2026. If you weren't here in person, get here for summer. We'll see you soon. Thanks. Bye. These kinds of conversations are happening all the time. We'd love for you to join in, whether it's through our monthly webinars, our biannual conferences, or our SEMA certification, and then we have our chapter events across the nation all year round. You can find out more at amaonline.com. Until then, see you next time.